Community Promotions, and then the Citizens Oversight Committee. We did have three people. I don't know if all council knows. We had three people withdraw from the last category: Doug Riddell, Lanny McKay, and Ken Vesterfeldt have all pulled their applications on the Oversight Committee. So, that being said, what we're going to do, if you haven't done this before, we're going to put the hot seat people up here that we're going to be interviewing, and we'll go up and down the line and ask you questions. And then after that, we will have our vote, and you'll know right away whether you made it or not. So good luck to all of you. And as always, we invite anybody who doesn't make it, please come back again. We usually have a wealth of people, and we don't want to lose anybody good just because you didn't quite fit the mix this time. We do try to fill certain categories in some of the boards and commissions, so we will be doing that as well. All right, so we'll start with Recreation and Parks. And so we have Anita Ayub and John Savage Bates. I think that's it. Just the two?
I'll come ahead and sit down with her.
Okay, and you heard the instructions about the microphone, so when you're talking, you actually have to hold it in front of you and turn it on, or bring it real close to you the way mine is so that you can hear. So we'll start with just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're applying for the position, okay? We'll start with you, Anita.
This is a surprise to me when Betty called me, and I think it was last week, and I told her, oh, how about Betty Stallard? And she couldn't get a hold of anybody since the dog people don't want to lose any position. I figured, okay, I'll come. I lived here in Morro Bay for 13 years. We don't live too far away from the park. We live on Birch Street. Both my husband and I are retired. We've been retired for 10 years now. And we do volunteer work in different places, especially for the church. And it's not St. Timothy's, although we are involved with them. We go to Cayucas. It's a lot easier to go over there. I don't exactly know what kind of information you need to know from me. Noah asked me last night if I was prepared, and I said, I have no idea. Like I said, I've worked for the past, I don't know, in the Bay Area is where I worked at for 35 years in construction. Well, I was a retail clerk, really. And then I went to Chabot College to get my typing skills back into form. And I worked for, I was a dispatcher for a cement company. I worked for them for 10 years, the last. And then I worked for CE Sales. I was their office manager for Mr. Cottrell and Mr. Euchre, who I still keep in contact with. I worked with them for another 10 years, and then I was ready to retire. That's when I moved over here. But living here in Morro Bay and to build a house, you had to be employed. So my husband stayed in the Bay Area. I worked here in San Luis Obispo for a couple of years, and then I was ready to get my pension and everything. I'm interested in the city of Morro Bay. I have no plans like some people say, oh, when I die, I'm going to move over here. No. Got my burial grounds already. There's a lot of things I would like to do for the city. I'd like to get involved. Thank you.
Hello. My name is John Bates. I'm a resident here in Morro Bay. I've lived here on the Central Coast since 1986. This is a new thing for me, too. I don't have any experience with you people and what this process is. However, I do have an experience in parks and recreation. I was employed as a park ranger for the San Luis Obispo County Parks and Open Space. There I had many different duties and many different experiences that I think that would make me a good candidate to help whatever it is. Like, I'm an experience here of what my role actually be. I saw the opening and I decided to come and apply and be involved. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Rick, you want to start with some questions?
I think I'm on. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, I'll start with Anita. How are you, Anita?
Fine, thank you.
Good. On your application, where it says, are you a registered voting resident of Morro Bay, it's not circled, are you? So I could...
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. And...
Since I was 18.
Okay. And who did you vote for in the last election?
That would be giving my secrets away.
And if I could just ask you, what seems like a foregone conclusion since we have two vacancies and two applications here, but I'll just ask you one question. And what do you know about this appointment? If you're
like my friend right next door to me, which I've already forgot your name because I'm nervous, I don't have any experience in parks and recs, but I do know that given the position, I would certainly research it.
Okay. And I'll ask John. Hi, John. I'll just ask you one question also. What qualities do you think are required for this particular job or appointment?
An open mind and some objectivity and definitely some listening, I would suppose.
Okay, and can you just expand on what you said about your 10-year background with parks and open space?
To what extent would you like me to...
What experience did you have with parks and open space for 10 years?
I've performed park maintenance, enforcement, also design and trail type things, and implementing different programs and uses, special uses for parks for many different users.
And okay, well, that's good to know. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. I turned it off. Hi, John, Anita. Thank you. I know it is very difficult to sit in that seat, I know, from experience. And that being said, a couple of the questions Rick asked you and what you've put on your application, and Anita, we've talked some from the dog park experience. John, I know your family and your landscape experience. So I'm going to pass my questions because we have a lot of people, and hope that you both have a position on the advisory board.
Thank you.
Is it on? Yes. I think what I like is that of the diversity of age right here, someone with experience and has probably been to a zillion parks in San Francisco and around wherever you visited, and probably John, on the other hand, is critiquing other parks because he knows how to do that because he's been to other parks. So I see you both bring very unique and good experiences, some professional, some from the citizen's perspective of what you'd like to see. I think we have a lot of good parks. My guess is you agree that we have some good parks. Are there particular things that we have missing that you'd like to see here that we could add to our park system? Now that we've added the dog thing, I'm not sure you want anything else.
I'll go first. Since we've had the dog park, I don't know if any of you have gone out there to see it. We've done quite a bit. It took a lot of people to get this done. There's still work that has to be done. We have to approach the city, though. The one thing I don't like is where they put the drainage at. Joe Woods is somebody that we have to talk to. It seems like it's very damp out there. And people are going out there. The mounds are great. That's fine. But it's just the entrance. For some reason, apparently the tennis courts are going to go in. So the drainage goes to the dog park, which I'm not happy about. And I intend to do something about that. Hopefully it'll work out. And as far as experiences, outdoor recreation or anything, when I was in the construction business, I did a lot of bids on the jobs. I know exactly what has to be done and how it can be done. Great. So,
like I said, I'm new to this. I don't have any particular agendas, and I'm just here to offer myself as a resource.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi, thank you, and thanks for your application and your willingness to serve. Just a quick question. Do you have a favorite park in the city, and if so, what sort of amenity do you most appreciate about that park?
I think the last park I went, of course, I love San Francisco, but...
Actually, in the city of Morro Bay.
Oh, the city of Morro Bay.
Yeah.
Del Mar Park, of course. You know, it's really funny. I lived here for, what was it? I think it's going on 14 years. I said 13 years. I lived there on the same street, and it took me 2 years to find the place. And all I had to do was walk over there. I saw the school grounds, and I wouldn't cross it, and just behind it. So when I found it, that was quite an experience, and I told everybody that I could see, have you gone to Del Mar Park? I love the place, especially the playground now for the kids. I have grandchildren, and Grandma, let's go to the park. Okay, let's go. So I love Morro Bay Park.
I enjoy Lila Kaiser Park. I enjoy the baseball fields and all the activity that goes on there.
Okay, well, enthusiasm is the number one thing that we need on the boards and commissions, and I think you both have that, so I'm fine. I don't have any more questions. But we do have to make it official. So we all... Did you have something else you wanted to say, Penny?
I was just going to say, could we move by acclamation to accept both of them?
Do you have to have something written? No?
You can do that as long as you mark your ballots for the record.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. Go ahead. Do you want to make a motion?
I move that we accept both... Ms. Ayu and Mr. Bates to the Parks and Rec Commission for 4 years.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Yeah. Congratulations. Thank you.
Congratulations, John. Right.
Okay. Next up is the Harbor Advisory Board. And let's have you seated in order so we know who's who. Chris Anderson over here. And next to Chris, Jean Dowdy. And then Kim Kolb. And over at this table, Judith Meissen and Elaine Sirda. Guys and girls, I didn't even do it that way on purpose. Okay. All right, well, we'll start with the ladies first. Just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in the Harbor Board.
My name is Elaine Sirda. I've been a Morro Bay resident for, 15 years, I imagine. Lived on board for 6 years aboard the vessel Grand Laney. A little bit about myself. Have a wide variety of interests. I dabble in business presently, work for the state, and have a lot of hobbies that keep me pretty active.
Good evening. My name is Judith Meissen, but I'm usually known as Lynn, which I guess I didn't put on there. I have been a resident of Morro Bay since 1994. I moved in here with my boat. I've been live aboard since 1979 in various harbors on the east and west coast. I finally found, I think, a home in Morro Bay. I have no intention of sailing away from this place, but just venturing outside and up and down the coast at this point. I really enjoy this harbor. It's one of the finest I've ever been in. I have served on the Harbor Advisory Board now for 4 years, and it has been a really interesting and satisfying experience. I have enjoyed knowing more about it, how it functions, how the city functions, and it's been a challenge to inform myself on the various issues that come up and the votes that we have to take, the recommendations that we send up to the City Council to make sure that my votes are to the benefit of the harbor and the citizens of Morro Bay. And that's why I really want to continue. Sorry.
Towards me, right? Hello?
Oh, good. Hello. Good evening. My name is Kim Kolb. My family has lived here in Morro Bay since around 1955. I attended grammar school and high school here in Morro Bay. Other than a four-year stint in the military, I've spent almost all my life here in Morro Bay. I attended Cal Poly and finished in 1975 with a degree in marine biology. I started graduate school, but unfortunately ran out of money and had to go in, and so I started my own business, and I worked in a small engine repair business until about year 2000, and at which point I semi-retired, and now I focus most of my efforts on property management, and my mother's gotten up in years, and I've taken on the responsibility of parental care for her, so that limits my traveling, if anybody's concerned about the four-year not being here in 4 years. I don't think I'm going to be leaving Morro Bay. I grew up on this bay. I used to swim and water ski and race hydroplanes and everything on this bay. And we've always lived next to the bay. It's become a very important part of my life. So I just decided it was time to take a more active role in city government, to see what I can do, see if there's anything I can contribute to the future of Morro Bay.
Good evening, council members. My name is Gene Doughty. I live in Los Osos, and I've been representing the Los Osos South Bay to the Harbor Advisory Board for a number of years. I own a marine construction business, and I'm an architect, and my office is on the water, and I have a barge that maintains the moorings, and I've been around a long time, so thank you.
My name is Chris Anderson, and I moved here in 97, up at the north end of Morro Bay. 4 years ago, I bought a boat and brought it in here. And I guess I would fit into the recreational boater category. I see some things that Morro Bay is going to need to do, because left to its own devices, we're going to have a real problem here in the future, keeping the bay clean and picking up some of the lost revenue that I think the Morro Bay is wasting in the estuary. It could be a lot more profitable than what it is. And in the spirit of Obamaism, since I'm not working, I thought I would volunteer.
Okay. Carla, let's start with you this time.
Thank you. I'll start down here and just go down the line. I'll start with you, Elaine, and then just work down. Could you please tell me then, just real briefly, how you feel you can contribute just one part of this, you know, without elaborating into depth to the advisory board?
I think that my experiences in my business and personal life would help a lot. I'm familiar with working with committees. I've been a volunteer for many, many years in different communities, stretching all the way back to Colorado, where I used to live. It's always been a dream of mine to live in Morro Bay. I kept migrating west slowly by slowly until I fell in the water, and that's home now. It's we have a beautiful bay and a wonderful harbor department, and I want to help maintain the goodness that it is.
I think that, well, I've been on the board now for 4 years. Some of the projects that have come up, and I would really like to be involved in seeing them carried to conclusion. I think the boatyard is extremely important. That's the one thing that we really need around here. The West Coast actually needs it, since there is nothing from Moss Landing down to really Ventura, since Port San Luis has so many difficulties. And I would like to stay on the board and in order to continue working on that and pushing it forward, as well as some others. But that's really my real concern.
Like previous two individuals that were up here on the other committee, I don't have a lot of experience on these boards. I served on a statewide board for a recreational organization, but that was many, many years ago. I have the time to devote to the job. I know that it's important to maintain very fragile balance here between the small town charm that we all enjoy and protecting the environment and dealing with the eventual progress that the city's going to go through. So I don't know. All I can say is I just I think it'd be a great opportunity to serve the public and serve the city, and I'd like to take advantage of it. Thank you.
Well, as Lynn had mentioned, there's a number of projects that we would like to see continued on. The boatyard would be one. I'm a strong advocate of a marine research facility, and I have been for 30 years. And I would encourage the council to, if a project comes in front of the board that has not been in front of the Harbor Advisory Board that concerns the harbor, that the council should say, well, you need to go back to the Harbor Advisory Board and get some input from them.
I'm sorry. What was the question again?
How do you feel you can contribute to this advisory board? What do you have to contribute?
I've heard a few things about this boatyard coming up, and I was really fascinated by it. I'm used to building large things. I worked on large yachts, and then I worked on larger aircraft. And I think it would be a fabulous thing for the city if they could also manage to pull the mega yachts and the boats in here and have it a city-owned facility to where we realize the money for people coming in for a $500,000 haul out. I think a lot of the space in the estuary is kind of wasted. The impound dock down there, I'm sure we could utilize that better. But being a new guy, I don't know the lay of the land. So it'd probably be better for me to have patience and sit back and, you know, listen to what has gone on before, since I have no knowledge of that.
This is a citizens advisory committee, and we want the citizens' perspective, not necessarily experts. But if you have background, that's fine too, of course. And all of you are some way related to the water, so it's real natural. I want to talk about going the other direction. As a citizen, bringing the perspective of citizens, how can you reach out to other people that are either in your circle or in your neighborhood to keep them informed of harbor activities or a project or what might be coming before your board? And why don't we start in the middle so we're not always hitting on the women first. Mr. Kolb?
The area I live in is kind of a controversial area anyway, so we're all pretty tight-knit, and everybody knows everybody else's business. So it's not hard to get people involved in the issues pertaining to this waterfront. I remember from past years that won't mention any names, but I thought it was important, and I've talked to a lot of the citizens and my extended coffee breaks. A lot of the people would like to keep the small town charm in Morro Bay, and in a way I do agree with that, but eventual progress is going to be hard to keep back. Somebody from the harbor office came around to the neighborhood when there was a project going on that was going to be a rather noisy, disruptive project on the waterfront, and he went out of his way to go to everybody in the neighborhood and inform them of what was going on. And that really made a great impression with myself and all the other neighbors. And I think it's something that's lacking the city. It's just something that could be added, kind of a personal touch. I don't know. It's probably obviously not the responsibility of the advisory board, but I don't know if that where your question was aimed, but that's all.
With the neighbor to our south, the South Bay, and we all have one bay, and so I would like to continue to interact with my local neighbors, and I spent a great deal of time down by Cuesta Inlet, and that's kind of like the boating area in that area there, and I just talked to the neighbors, and I would like to continue to do that. I probably should spend more time over by 2nd Street where the little boat ramp is, and I will try to do that.
I'm sorry. I was listening to everyone's answer again and forgot the question.
Surely. Mike, you're a citizen representative bringing the citizen's perspective to the board as yourself because you're all residents. But is there some way to broaden your input to the committee by how do you reach out to your personal circle or your neighborhood to get ideas from them or to share with them what's going on? Related specifically to the harbor.
My neighborhood is so detached from the estuary. But having a boat down here, I'm a circle people. I know liverboards. I know people. I sometimes work with a friend on boats down there. So we pretty well know what's going on. A lot of it, we don't have any idea of what to do about it. But I don't know that my circle needs to be expanded. I know everybody from down by the museum and people up on the North Tee Pier pretty well encompasses. A lot of them are fishermen. I have a definitely idea what the estuary needs.
I believe I'm understanding your question correctly. You're asking how we would portray, for instance, the liverboard's perspective and lifestyle to the citizens of Morro Bay, the drylanders, as I like to refer to you. Because communication on the water, I've found in my experience, travels faster than our radios. We're an amazing group out there, truly. Every character out there, and myself included, are just wonderful people, really. During hard times, our radios are on. We're watching out for each other. We're checking our boats. I'm on the dock once a week. I'm cleaning up. We're scrubbing down the pump-out station because we can't expect everyone to pick up after us. But as far as relaying information to the citizens, the liverboard committee had toyed with some ideas on doing just that as far as maybe reporting on water quality, things like that. I think that it would be beneficial to look back into that as far as communicating with the citizens. Gosh, something in the paper works wonders. Just read your article and enjoyed it very much. So I'll pass the mic.
Since I've been on the Harbor Advisory Board and they do televise it, I've been rather amazed at the number of people who actually watch that television program. I have strangers come up to me very often when I'm walking my dog at Tidelands Park and say, what went on, because I didn't see it last time. And striking up conversations with people around in the park, and they're down at the park because they are interested in the bay in some way. It's easy to ask them questions and find out what their concerns are as well. So being around the community and keeping this in the forefront of your mind so that I can talk to other people and then incorporate that into the
information that I have regarding any particular issue that comes up at the Harbor Advisory Board, I think is, for me, something that is very worthwhile, and I think it does broaden my outlook.
All right, thanks. This is a question for all of you, and why don't we start with you, Kim. One of the things that we as a council have been doing and staff as we've looked at opportunities for some higher efficiency and potential savings with our budget situation is the idea of evaluating the idea of consolidation or reorganization, and the Harbor Department has been one that we've looked at briefly and perhaps maybe looking at more closely in the future. With that concept, are there certain elements within the existing framework of the Harbor Department that you would really encourage us to prioritize or make sure that we get right as key operational operations for the community and for the quality of the service that we get from that department?
Wow, I don't know how you address that without stepping on toes.
Uh-oh.
I just don't know. Well, I, you know, that's difficult to say.
Speak to services.
Yeah, we're thinking more about services here. Like, what elements are the real essentials that the department offers that you'd caution us to tinker with or to try to manipulate too much in search of savings or a higher efficiency that may not be there, or may be there.
Wow, I don't know that much about the inner workings. It's a tough question. I'm kind of an outsider. I've attended some of the meetings, but I'm probably just brain dead this evening, and I'm missing your point. I know that you've got a real easy way to put this, but is there something within the Harbor Department? Is that what we're, or
yes,
or
as far as our operations, the Harbor Department's operations and service, what in there do you find to be essential for the quality operations and appearance and safety of our bay and the working waterfront? What in there is just to you essential to the community?
Wow. You know, there's like I said, it's I don't know. I find it's probably not that difficult a question, but I'm just finding not knowing the inner workings or what the responsibilities are of the Harbor Department. I mean, they obviously serve an important goal within the bay as far as safety issues are concerned. You know, the tourist trade is, even with the bad economy, the tourist trade continues. We don't have the overnight guests that we used to, but from my perspective, what I see on the waterfront, there's a lot of activity on the waterfront. There's a lot of kayakers out there and sailboats, and as far as the harbor is concerned, you know, they serve a very important function in overseeing the safety aspects of the bay. Like I said, I haven't gone down there and spent a day with this gentleman. I know some of the patrolmen down there, but, you know, it's just a passing hi goodbye. I don't know what the responsibilities are. I'm probably just circumnavigating your whole question here, but
you spoke to it.
Well, I better quit while I'm ahead. Thank you.
Let's see. I would think anything that has to do with on or in the water is paramount to stay down on the Harbor Advisory, stay in the Harbor Department. Perhaps there's some maintenance issues that perhaps some of you can do some cross-training or something like that. Maybe some of the management can be shifted up inland a little bit. Maybe some of the lifeguarding could be Parks and Recreation. But as far as firemen trying to take over Harbor Patrol duties, or vice versa, I just don't see anything like that practically working.
I'd say right now that the Harbor Patrol is in pretty much of a disarray. Some of it's from influx of boats. Some of it's from the fact that the scope of the job is outgrowing the personnel that you have for it. Efficiency. They say that it costs them about $180 to launch that boat and head down as far as Tidelands in wear and tear on the boat, salaries, and gas. Why are the people who rent these kayaks not assisting us with those monetary problems? It should be a part of them. It hasn't been so much lately, but I would call three times a week on a kayak who's clinging to the side of his kayak floating down the thing without a life jacket on, and they come running right out, you know. But hey, is it an unnecessary rescue? Why should we assume all the liability? I think in the spirit of fair play, Harbor Department should be receiving some help from that. And once we get rid of all the derelict boats, we can move ahead forward then with maybe building some kind of a real marina in here. It has possibilities. But the fact that, you know, liverboards are necessary because at 6 o'clock in the evening, the harbor department's gone. I think that could become I look at things in terms of lawsuits. Where's the city liability at? You know, and it doesn't really matter because you don't want to give people an excuse to sue you. Like the guy who took 18 people out on an 18-foot boat and drowned three of them right outside the breakwater. I believe he won a lawsuit against this. And I would like to see that covered more. All right. The Harbor Patrol, they're all part-timers too, aren't they now? Very few full-time people. Well, cut somebody's salary, how do they feel about it, you know? One of them said to me, hey, I don't care, I'm part-time. So you probably need to instill a little camaraderie amongst the Harbor Patrol, and be nice to see them work together with the Coast Guard more, but I don't know what intergovernmental agencies would be involved with writing up all those bylaws and how many lawyers would be involved. So it should be billing more, though. There should be more billable hours for the Harbor Patrol.
I think there probably are administrative functions that could be combined and under one rubric of harbor, parks, and rec. I think the Harbor Patrol itself, though, the Harbor Department, their main function is two functions are safety and law enforcement. The safety issues regarding both life, people who are having trouble in the water that they save, that they rescue frequently, and the property that they help maintain when they check boats before the storm and during storms. Those, of course, will have to remain with people who are particularly skilled and trained to do that. I don't think that would be a function that could ever easily or safely be divided and simply throw it over to parks. The law enforcement issue is another one that might be a little bit specialized and could not go or be combined with anything else. But administratively, I'm sure there are lots of things that could be done that would make a lot of sense and perhaps save some salaries by combining administrative functions and therefore cut personnel, which is always the biggest expense that is involved in almost any organization. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm going to go with what she said.
I also agree. I think that anything that our harbor department puts in front of us, we should very carefully consider. I back them. I think that they may be able to look over their daily office tasks and delegate something to another person and maybe cut back on a position. Having experienced that recently in the department that I work for at the state, we had to do what we did was we juggled time rather than try and cut back on people's hours. And so far, the program that we implemented seems to be working. My department is similar to the harbor. We do emergency calls. We do safety issues, storm preparedness, things like that. So standing from that perspective, I think that it could be reviewed. But like I said, our harbor department is an important department. Truly, we need them.
Okay, Rick?
Just to clarify, we have 2 4-year terms and 1 1-year term. So do we want to ask these folks what their preferences are? If you would, when you're finished answering the next question, state whether you prefer a 4-year term or a 1-year term that's available. I had a list of questions I was going to ask, but one of these applications, Mr. Kolb, filled out, brought up, I think, a better question for me to ask on his comments, and I'd like to ask you all the same question, and I'll start down here. And if you could just give me your honest opinion, there's no right or wrong answer here, but just your honest opinion regarding commercial versus recreational use and whether or not the balance of the scale is tipping too far one way or the other, or is somebody getting the short end of the stick here? But how do you feel about the balance? Do we have a balance? And if not, where do you see it?
Well, the commercial use is dwindled over the years. So I imagine that it is, as far as a scale, is less than the... Well, let me think. Yeah, I think that the commercial use is less than the recreational use at this point. Don't quote me. I'd have to have some facts and figures in front of me. This is just off the top of my head. Okay.
Oh, and would you prefer the 4 or 1-year term?
Either one. I'm open to either one.
All right.
When you're saying commercial, you don't mean only commercial fishing, I'm sure. You mean commercial use in general. I think for the long-term financial benefit of the city, I think you need to foment commercial use. They support other services, they bring in and give a larger financial remuneration to the city. Of course, we have a lot of recreational boaters. I don't know that there is a real conflict between the two, or if there is a demand for services that you would pick. I'm not expressing that very well.
No, I think you are. You're doing well.
Demand that you would have to say, well, we're going to give this to recreational and we're going to give that to commercial. But I think in general, we need to really encourage commerce in all forms, including on the bay, always within the limits of our resources and to protect the main resource we have, which is the bay.
And a 4 or 1-year term?
I would prefer a 4-year term and not have to do this in 1 year.
Okay. Gotcha.
Why did I ever put that down? I should. I can't remember. I can't remember now what I put down in that form. As everybody's well aware, our little neighborhood has been through this recently, and this is a real touchy subject. I think, as far as water frontage is concerned, I think Morro Bay is probably predominantly commercial. I don't know if you could mark it off in square feet or how you would designate that. I think there's, regardless of what you do, there's always going to be a shortage. I ran across this all the time at the airports, and every time I travel to a little outlying airport, there's always going to be a conflict between the commercial services and the little private guys. And regardless of how much you put in, how much space you dedicate to either commercial or pleasure craft, there's always going to be a shortage. I think that balance is teetering, and I thought over the past 3 or 4 months, the balance is swinging more till it's more to the little recreational boats are just getting the short end. I probably, people are going to hate me for saying that, but I just I know the marina next to me. It's the only haul out facility we have in Morro Bay, and the Myers have been great neighbors and terrific family all these years. I talked to one of their sons recently, which I had mentioned in another meeting, and he Ty told me that he had 25 people on the waiting list for that little marina. There's so few spots available, and I hear it from the commercial fishermen I talk to. They're screaming because there's no spots. The recreational people are screaming. I don't know. The balance is just so tenuous. I don't know how one. Morro Bay is, they've only got so much space here. The bay has got a limited size, and we have to make do with what we have and use it as best we can. I'd sure hate to be the one to have to make that decision, though. But as far as the term, I agree with her. I wouldn't want to go through this again in a year. 4 would be much nicer. Thank you.
Commercial versus recreation. Commercial, I guess, has to be broken down into fishing vessels and then other kinds of commercial use. Other kinds of commercial use would be other kinds of commercial vessels and then commercial business. Recreational, I don't think they're getting the short end of the stick at this point. There seems to be an awful lot of recreational boating going out. It may be small boats and kayaks, electric boats, that sort of thing. As far as commercial fishing, of course we all know that there are on the short end of the stick at this point, and I think the city needs to help them in any way they can. As far as other commercial vessels, I kind of agree on the city council's idea of case-by-case review of that particular proposal. And if they meet the various guidelines and rules and regulations, then they put it to the Planning Commission, then eventually to the council to make the decision. But I think they should be on a case-by-case basis.
I look at the waterfront as being all commercial. There's nobody living there for free. Moorings are revenue. Slips are revenue. And I do believe we should be charging for launching, too. Those people make the majority of the mess. They should pay to clean it up. There should be a launching fee at the boat ramp. And I'm a recreational boater, but I pay to park my boat. That's commercial. Increasing the number of moorings, that's a commercial win-win for everybody. People have a place to park their boat. City gets revenue. City should maintain the ownership of the moorings. However, price is about $30,000 a piece these days, so if the city wanted to sell one for some fast cash, you need to get it reorganized and more kind of together. It's kind of hodgepodge all over the place, and it's basically because we're just entering into this millennium where we will see more growth than we probably will have liked to. But I think it's amazing that the estuary just isn't paying for itself. There are people getting rich down there, but is the city getting rich down there? But I think that should be addressed. And I don't care whether it's 1 or 4 years. You know,
okay.
It doesn't really matter to me.
All right. On this one, I've My questions have been answered. I can't think of anything else to ask. We do have some specific categories on this board. One is the Los Osos Bay, which I believe Mr. Dowdy is the only one that qualifies for. And then one is a Waterfront Leaseholders Association, which I don't believe any of you are. Okay, but we do have two LIVA boards, right? Okay. So that's just what we need to consider in our...
The waterfront leasehold position is that 1 year that's remaining also. So how
I'm sorry?
Are we addressing... The waterfront leasehold
right.
is one, the one-year position. How are we addressing that then? Are we leaving it open
well,
or are we
we're not
going
to be
it?
Filling that, we can just appoint someone that doesn't represent that. We haven't had that category represented before on a regular basis. It's the hardest one to fill. So... Perhaps in a year when that term is up, if we can find someone that represents a leaseholder, that would be good. So,
I'd like to add that these are categories that have been around for quite a while, and just like on promotions, I believe we have said in the past that these are categories we'd like covered, but they don't have to be.
Right.
And whether or not you're from Los Osos, you could go to Los Osos LOCAT and speak to them. And so I don't think we've been bound. We have not bound ourselves to these categories in the past. And so I just want to throw that out there, that it'd be nice to have people from those categories. And maybe that's something we need to look at when we look at the policies and procedures book. Do we want to maintain these kind of categories both within this and the other committees?
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, my understanding on that, though, was that that was if there was not someone in that category
right.
to fill that position
right.
directly. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we will now proceed to vote. So there are three categories available, and when you put your check mark, say 1 or 4 years.
She said she didn't care. So damn, next to the water.
Over the water, I thought.
Can't get it apart.
While we're waiting, I'll harp on an old theme. And I'll pick on Mr. Dowdy because he's been of a great service to the community forever, and he's lives here, or he works here, but he lives in Los Osos, and so I think you have the balance of both communities. One of my long-term things has always been, let's move people along, though, and get new volunteers involved, so I guess I'm letting you know publicly that I didn't support Eugene, but it's just because of your tenure, and I'd like to get some new blood.
That's perfectly fine with me.
Okay.
First, I'll announce the number of votes for each person, and then I'll read off which council members voted for each individual. Mr. Dowdy received 4 votes. Mr. Kolb received 2 votes. Ms. Meissen received 4 votes. And Ms. Serta received 5 votes. Mr. Anderson did not receive any votes. Councilmember Grantham voted for Mr. Dowdy, Mr. Kolb, and Ms. Serta. Councilmember Winholtz voted for Mr. Kolb, Ms. Meissen, and Ms. Serta. Mayor Peters voted for Mr. Dowdy, Ms. Meissen, and Ms. Serta. Councilmember Smuckler voted for Mr. Dowdy, Ms. Meissen, and Ms. Serta. And Councilmember Borchard voted for Mr. Dowdy, Ms. Meissen and Ms. Serta, and it was consistent for the one-year term to go to Ms. Serta.
Okay. There we go. So congratulations. Please don't be discouraged. Come back again. We have a lot of people who didn't make it the first time and came back and served.
You can't get out of this. You can't.
Okay. Community promotions. Let's put the chairs this way. Daniel Krasick, Ed Krovitz, Teresa Lockwood, Dan Podesto, and Bill Stafford. In the middle, yes. All right, did we lose some people here? I just called out five names. We have two people.
Three people.
Did someone go to the restroom and we're missing them?
What's your name?
Dan Podesto.
Well, why don't we start with the three? And hopefully, if he comes in, we can always get him on the introduction line. This is promotions. There he is. Okay. Much quiet in here. We'll put you in the middle. All right, so Teresa Lockwood is not here. Eliminate that one. All righty. You know the drill. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you want to be on this board. Ed?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council people and Andrea. In 1988, my wife Nancy and I bought our first home here in Morro Bay. And lo and behold, who did we find as our neighbor but Bill and Kathy Stafford. So that was almost 20-some-odd years ago. And since then, after 10 years of living in L.A. and coming to Morro Bay, we finally made it our permanent home in 1999, I guess, 98, 99. So we've been here almost living permanently full-time 10 years. I retired in 2002 because my job had taken me up the coast, and that's the reason we gave up our home in the Los Angeles area and came up here. And since then, my retirement, I've been actively engaged in working for the City of Morro Bay. I'm presently vice chair of your Community Promotions Committee. I'm a volunteer in the city's visitor center, and I put in hundreds of hours every year talking to tourists and visitors alike, and that gives me a lot of knowledge about what goes on in the tourist mind when they come to Morro Bay. I also volunteer for the police volunteers. I'm a member of Neighborhood Watch, and I love Morro Bay very much, and I'd like to continue on the Promotions Committee because it's an exciting time, and I think the committee needs some stability, and that's why I came back. Oh.
Hi, Daniel Krasick. I don't know about some of the other folks, but I've only been in Morro Bay for 3 years now. And a little bit about myself, I have been in the design and publishing industry for well over 20 years now. And, having been, deeply connected to advertising design and promotions and things like that, I feel that I have an opportunity to bring a fresh insight and, possibly even some inventive ideas about how Morro Bay could promote itself.
Good evening. My name is Dan Podesto. I have been a Morro Bay homeowner and resident since 2003. And actually 2 years ago to the day, I started a business in Morro Bay, Central Coast Lending, and has been successful so far. Outside of that, I also have a weekly radio program, which I use to not only promote my business, but also to offer a free resource to the community for real estate and economics. People call in with questions all the time. I also am involved in the community outside of work. We have sponsored a beach in Cayucas that we clean up a few times a year. I like to, you know, keep myself active and athletic, and I, you know, participate in softball locally. And, you know, I took a one-year hiatus, I guess, to San Francisco, so I've had the taste of big city life, but Morro Bay drew me back, and I really see this as my home for a long time to come. And this is my first attempt at getting more involved in the community. I'm also recently joined the Morro Bay Fourth organization to help with that event, but this, I feel, is, you know, something to help the city itself that I've really grown to love.
My name is Bill Stafford. I've been living in Morro Bay for 21 years. I spent probably 10 or 12 years working at the Chamber of Commerce in the visitors department. I've also worked for the Harbor Festival, the Old Salmon Festival. I try to volunteer at most of the things that the Chamber of Commerce does, like serving margaritas. Fourth of July, helped direct traffic. I've been on the promotions committee for 4 years. I would like to be selected again, and it looks like there's a pretty good chance. My reason for, and I really wasn't going to do this again, but I decided that the new web page, we haven't been able to get that kicked off yet, and I would sure like to be around when we get that kicked off and get it up and running again. Then I think there's going to be some possibilities of changing with the new BID, and I'd kind of like to be around to help get things going along and everything like that. So that's my spiel. Oh, and somebody was going to sing happy birthday to me tonight, and they haven't yet.
Who was planning that?
I promised Bill the entire council would sing happy birthday.
Because he's here on his birthday, right?
Uh-huh.
Do we have to do it on camera, or can we do it when we take a break?
That's all right. You don't have to do
it. We'll do it when we take a break. Okay. We do now, with the one person not showing up, we do have four people and four openings. Three of them are for four-year terms, and one is for one-year term. So, again, we do have that preference that you could indicate. And given that we do have four, whatever questions you want to ask, fine, but we don't probably have to go into a whole lot of detail. So let's start, Betty, with you this time.
Three of you are, and I don't know how long you've been here, Mr. Stafford, but all of you have come from somewhere else, I assume, and some more recently than others. What is it that you have seen in other communities that you think would work well here that we could promote?
You want to start with?
Doesn't really matter?
I'll start.
Okay.
Actually, I was really excited last week at the business forum when we were going over the new website that I guess has not yet been launched, but soon to be. One of the ideas that was put up on the board was to promote a crew event, and I actually rode 2 years in high school and thought that that was a fantastic idea for the city of Morro Bay. I'd be really excited to get more involved in that particular event. As far as other events in other cities, I've only lived in Sacramento and Morro Bay, slow for a little bit, but so similar. And I can't really think of anything very different, but that one particularly excited me.
Okay. Bill?
I think with the facilities we have here, there's a lot of different things we could do. We could have a big wine tasting, although we kind of have that with the Harbor Festival. What you could expand on that a little bit. there's so many things that happen here in town that we really don't know anything about.
Events with the Olympics just around the corner, we could tie into things like that every year. This would be a wonderful thing if we could do it. Now, it takes a committee and it takes time, but it's a wonderful idea to do. Another idea which the Promotions Committee has been kicking around, and it's on the verge of taking place, we're trying to find out more information about it, is a vintage Volkswagen show, where we get Volkswagen owners to town with the buses and the bugs and all those things that they have, and have a weekend, just like we have with our car show, but have it focusing on Volkswagen for the nostalgia, the fishing village. The whole thing would work together if we could do it. So as far as ideas, Betty, they're very easy to come by. The execution, as you know, sitting up there, getting the job done, that's the tough part.
I agree with everything that was said in terms of the type of ideas. The one thing I would say is that Morro Bay is never going to run out of ideas for events and opportunities for attracting folks to, you know, the city. One of the things in answer to your question, Betty, is I would look at, you know, more of an integration between the promotions that the city is doing and the chamber and, of course, the community at large. And I feel that's where a lot of the opportunities are going to come into play. You know, for instance, you know, having lived in, you know, two different tourist towns before I moved to Morro Bay, and, you know, observing as an outsider how they, you know, handled their promotions, there was a very tight integration between the Chamber of Commerce and the city itself, because the Chamber was pulling in, you know, a lot of the business support, and then the city was obviously fostering a lot of the support, you know, within the the different communities or, you know, neighborhoods within each, you know, within the, you know, the city. So, so personally, I see that. I look a little bit broader at those opportunities. Yeah.
Okay. Noah?
Yes, thank you. I actually did want to follow up on Mr. Krasik and Mr. Stafford's comments, and they started to speak towards the idea of the local market and that connection and the ability to communicate more to the people that live here at least most of the year. And that's definitely a challenge, and hearing from a lot of businesses that they would like to make a better connection with the locals. And how to do that, I think, is the big question. And I just wanted to kick that back to you for an idea or a brief philosophy that you think might help make that connection to the locals. And also, if you could mention what you'd prefer, is it a 4 or 1 year?
Uh-huh.
4 or 1 year term.
That subject's been addressed quite a bit, even by the Chamber. A few years ago, the Chamber came out with a little locals card, a business card, a plastic card that you became a member. The Chamber gave them away. It was for locals. And the locals would walk into the establishment that joined, and it would automatically give them a 20% discount. I don't know if Bill remembers that, but I do think that the Chamber had those cards, and where it went, I don't know the participation that the local merchants gave it, but it did start off. Something like that could work for locals, where we have, and John Saugenfries talked about the, I don't know the Hawaiian name he uses, but it's at Hawaii, but it's a local discount that the Hawaiians get when they buy anything. And they ask, and you have to ask for it. And when you ask for that discount, you have a driver's license or something that shows you have a local address, and you get that discount. And it's for locals only. I know many of the hotels here in NOAA have a locals rate. And if you're a local, you get a rate that's lower than what they charge the person that walks in, but you have to ask for it. Some of our, I think, Roses on Thursday nights has a local nights, and you get a special rate if you're a local person. And the more businesses that make that connection to the locals, say, we want your business, we can't survive without your business, and thank you for giving us your business, we will give you locals a discount. And they have to have this card, and they have to be a local resident, either in the city or the county or however wide you want to make the marketing area. I think that's one very strong way which businesses, if they'd like to participate, could do that. And I know the chamber probably would revitalize that program if there were enough merchants that wanted to take part in it.
Okay, so my preference would be a 1 year. And do you want to say that?
Four.
Okay, so my preference would be a 1 year. And regarding for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, Morro Bay needs to be looking a little bit broader at how to, you know, enroll and foster a level of involvement in the community and the ongoing promotions that are going to sustain what is happening here in the community and what the city's vision is. And that's the way I look at it.
Okay. Dan?
I have a very limited amount of knowledge about the budget of the Promotions Committee, but from what I gather, it seems that most of the focus is on drawing people from outside the local area. You know, tourists, I always hear this is a tourist town. It's not a tourist town to me. It's home. And I've often wondered why I don't hear a radio advertisement for something going on in Morro Bay. Or I honestly had no idea that I could get a discount if I went to Rose's Landing and said, hey, I live in Morro Bay. It's somehow increasing the awareness, and I don't know necessarily what the right answer is or what the right media is to get that word across to people, but if it's something as simple as reallocating the budget to focus more on people locally. And when I say local, I mean in the county or in the city. Because I think that's where you're going to get the most frequent. Once people come here, they realize what Morro Bay has to offer and how great the town is. And, you know, it's one thing to have someone who comes here three times a year, you know, come to Morro Bay and use the services or whatever that we provide. It's another thing to have someone who's here as a full-time resident, you know, visiting our shops once a week, and that, you know, that's going to go along a lot longer of a way, I think, towards building revenue, kind of thing.
Okay.
In the 21 years I've lived here, I've harped about local advertising, and when we lost the Sun Bulletin, we lost a very important part of our local advertising. And I don't know what the solution is. It really bothers me to have neighbors tell me that I didn't realize there was a boat parade this weekend. And it really bugs me, and I don't know what to do about it. To me, I don't know what it costs to put a little ad in with the water bill, but that at least covers everybody that's getting water here in the city. How expensive that is, everything is money, and it's all related to money. But I don't know what the solution is to get the local bid. And we kick this around all the time on promotions, and you know, we do a lot of promoting in Bakersfield and out in the valley and up and down the coast, but the local people and getting them to come to our events, I'm really stumped as to what to do with those. We can put posters up, but if the people don't walk through town, they don't see the posters.
4 years or 1 year? 4 years or 1 year?
One.
One? 4 years or one? Okay. Thanks. Okay. Other questions? Who wants to ask them? Rick?
Well, at this point, I really don't have any questions. However, I do want to take an opportunity to publicly thank Ed and Bill for their years of volunteer efforts and civic involvement. We're lucky that we have four spots, and seems like we have four good applicants, but I think, Daniel, if you look to your left, and Daniel, you look to your right, you'll see a good role model to kind of go after. I wish you well and a lot of success on your time on this committee. Your decisions are going to have a direct effect on how we prioritize promotions, which is going to be very important for all of us. So ready to put my vote down.
Carla, any questions?
I'm going to echo what Mr. Grantham just said, and in regards to how we outreach, I hope that maybe somewhere in the Promotions Committee we can continue to look at option like South Bay does, where you pull into Los Osos and there's a sign there that says what the events are. And I'm
all right, so we're ready to vote. Okay, put your votes and your suggested term, please.
Mayor Peters, yeah. I'd also like to ask that as we go through this process, whether it's through the policies and procedures or this evening, that we look at readdressing the, again, this is Merchants Association, Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. rep, and a Embarcadero business rep. So we keep getting outside our box of how these fit. We have a member on the committee already who is an Embarcadero business but is taking a member at large, so right. I don't know how we go about, you know, maybe the city manager would have mm-hmm. a way to, if we can just change the titles or if it has to be done through formality.
Mm-hmm. And with that, 1, 2, 3, 4. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
John. And Joyce and Bill. Okay. All right, we'll start with the introductions. And, Guy, I don't think there's any strangers in this group. Let's start in the middle. John.
Thank you. I'm John, a.k.a. Dan Glessman.
I'm sorry, I'm using Dan, right? I'm sorry.
No, it goes either way.
I was reading off the paper.
And my wife and I moved to Morro Bay here in 1999. And in 2004, I retired from sales management with General Electric. And since then, I developed an interest in the city finances, and I view a chance to serve on this commission or board as a way to improve understanding and make a positive civic contribution.
Okay. Elaine? Hi, I'm Elaine Giannini. I'm a lifelong resident of Morro Bay. I know most everyone in the room. Let's see. I've been self-employed as a realtor for almost 30 years now, so obviously I've had to work within a budget and appropriate funds in certain fashions.
Excuse me, just a second.
I'm sorry.
Ed? I'm sorry. We're having a hard time hearing, so.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Prior to that, I actually was a bookkeeper and accountant for the Scripps newspapers when they owned the Sun Bulletin. I volunteered in a lot of different capacities in the city of Morro Bay, and right now I'd like to follow in the footsteps of my brother and my father, who donated a lot of their time and energy to preserve the character of Morro Bay. Thank you.
Okay. Here we go. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. I moved to Morro Bay in 19...
Tell us your name just for the people watching.
Oh, I'm sorry. Michael Durek.
Thank you.
I've been a resident of Morro Bay since 1997. I probably should disclose that Elaine Giannini was my realtor when I bought my first house here. Since coming to the city, I have attempted to make myself aware of what goes on with city finances and have not been, as most of you know, bashful about expressing my opinion from time to time about how the money is collected and spent in the city. My background, I am retired as a commissioner with the Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, the U.S. government. I did that for about 8 years. Prior to that, I ran my own business for 23 years. During those times, I served in a variety of fiduciary capacities, one of which was as a trustee on 15 different Taft-Hartley benefit funds, trustee and fiduciary for benefit funds as large as $26 million. I do have a keen interest in the budget and the finances of the city, and I hope that if asked to serve on this committee, I can make a positive contribution, putting aside self-interest and acting at all times in the best interests of the citizens of the community.
Okay. Joyce?
Thank you, Bill. My name is Joyce Lundy. I'm a 34-year resident of Morro Bay. I'm a retired banker and 35 years with Bank of America. I was a volunteer for the Chamber of Commerce and sat on its board for several years, and then worked for the Chamber for 2 years. I was also a part of the proud to serve on the Promotions Committee until recently. I presently am on the Measure Q Oversight Committee as the Vice Chair and Spokesperson.
Good evening. My name's Bill Pierce, and I'm a 35-year resident of Morro Bay, although not all continuously. I was very interested in the city's finances for about 12 years, and I've had three businesses in Morro Bay, so I'm very familiar with what budgeting and writing checks can do to you. And prior to that, I ran a couple of newsrooms that had 23 bodies and some rather tightly stretched budgets. I feel that I should be here tonight because I was one of the original framers, if you will, of the committee we started to put Measure Q on the ballot, and I know what promises we made to the public, although the measure itself gives you pretty much latitude to do whatever you want with the money. We did make some very specific promises to the community, and I feel it's very important to uphold those promises.
Okay. Noah?
Thanks.
And there's always going to be discussion as far as individual interpretation, which is a good thing. But also, as we go farther down the road and councils change, staff changes, there's going to be, and budgets tighten, there's going to be much more pressure, if you will, to cave in and use that nice big slush fund for some other project it might not have been intended for. And as I say, to me, it's very important that we keep faith with the community and keep the promises we made from the committee, because the city didn't make the promises we did. And that's because the city couldn't get involved in the project. I mean, they just basically, the way it was worked out, the Citizens Committee was responsible for all of the promotion and speaking to the community and the literature that was printed, and what we put out had some very specific promises on it.
You know, while I was serving on this committee, one of the things I have to say is this committee makes a very valuable contribution. And we have, and it's exactly what Bill said, we have intercepted several things that were not appropriate for what the voters asked for, what they voted on. And one of the things that we have always done is looked back at the surveys, look back at the ballot, because the ballot is really what was voted on. And the interpretation, it's the spirit of it also. And so we have to interpret that. But I'm happy to say that we have turned away many departments with their hands out that were not appropriate to what the voters wanted. We consider ourselves a protection committee for the voters of Morro Bay. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're the intermediary. We're supposed to look over who's coming with their hand out saying we need money for certain projects. If they follow under the purview of Measure Q, then we are in favor. And if they don't, then we are the people that we don't make a law, we don't make regulations, but we can shine a light on it. And what we do is go in front of the public at City Council, and we give our interpretation of things and what we have, take a look at the budget and whether or not Measure Q funds are being used appropriately. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing that next week. This is our yearly, this is our time to give that report, and I will be doing that next week. I think that we're sort of a liaison committee, if you will, too. But we've worked very well with the city. They've been very cooperative. Susan Slayton is always at our meetings. She answers all of our questions. And we certainly have had a lot of cooperation. But I think we do an extremely important job. Thank you.
Joyce, I just had a quick follow-up question before we move on. Has there been a situation where you had a really tight conflicting feelings from the group as far as a decision, and how did you resolve
that? Not at all. This group is so dedicated, and every single member of this group, there's five of us, every single member knows what they're there for, what we are there for. We have always had unanimous votes.
It's been very well spoken. my understanding when I was voted for this that it was for things like public safety and infrastructure development and maintenance, not operations per se. And I would support to continue that.
Yes, they did put it very succinctly. I have a copy of the survey and the results of the votes. I think it's really important, as I think all of us believe, that the voters' wishes be upheld. And I think all of us probably have the city and the voters' best interests at heart. And we just have to, it sounds like they've had a great group that have been a watchdog for that, the voters and the citizens of Morro Bay, and I would just want to continue to do that.
We're all going to echo, I think, the same thing. Elaine used the word watchdog. That's purely and simply what the committee is. I, having been an opponent, which I will remind you of Measure Q, have watched very carefully the performance and decisions of the committee. And they're to be lauded for following the spirit and intent of what the voters passed. I did not have the confidence that would happen, and that was one of the reasons I opposed the measure in the first place. So I think the people that have served need to be given a lot of credit. And I would hope that anybody that you select tonight will continue in the same vein.
Okay. Who else? Rick?
So, Michael, you just said that you opposed it. Knowing what you know now, do you still oppose it?
Well, no. I only opposed the measure, Rick, because I did not have confidence in the then-seated council and city staff.
When this first, you know, grew legs and started walking, you know, the fire department, of course, was in more dire need than any other department, and with the earthquake and everything, and the status of their emergency vehicles, so they've certainly got, you know, the brunt of the Measure Q funding. Mr. Glessman, do you feel now that we need to take a look at other things, or what would be your priority moving on from here now that it looks like we've got the fire department pretty squared away?
Yes, I am interested in infrastructure, streets, sewer collections, and things like that that are, I think, deferred over general operations, so I would be sure they get a good piece of it.
And Dan, did you support it? Did you support the Measure Q?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thanks.
It's not a prerequisite, but just let her know. Joyce, how would people describe you?
How would they describe me? Oh, Lord. okay, the boring part is I'm very reliable. I'm considered to be reliable, very analytical. I drive my friends crazy. When I make a decision, I analyze every part of it. I'm certainly honest, and I have a lot of integrity. Okay.
Bill, I'll ask you the same thing.
Could you repeat the question?
How would people describe
you? That's a good question. I think they would describe me as being committed to Morro Bay, considering the number of things I keep getting sucked into participating in. I care about it. I care about the quality of the community. I care about the services the city provides the public. I've always said, which was something my dad used to say, really, if you can't provide the basic services of police, fire, water, and sewer, you shouldn't be a city. And that's really true. I mean, if you can't provide basic services that people need, you shouldn't be in the business of doing anything else.
Well, I know that I agree that a lot of these questions and answers are going to become very redundant here, and I think you all understand the function of the committee. That's pretty obvious. And the time commitment, considering it only meets every 3 months. That being said, there are still other requirements that fall into that timeline that aren't just going to, you know, be 3 months. Is that going to be a conflict of schedule? And along with that, what do you feel you, without repeating what your experiences are, that you have best to offer the committee that will set you different from somebody else? And we have three positions and five of you applying, so I need some help here.
As far as schedule, no, I have the time. I am retired. I do perform labor arbitrations on a somewhat sporadic basis, but that only takes me out of town a couple days every 3 months, or every 2 months, excuse me. I think everybody up there knows that Juan and I travel a lot, but I'm more than happy to say that we're able to adjust our travel schedule to fit around the meeting commitments, and I would not be here volunteering if I were not ready to make the time available for the meetings.
Before you pass it off, what's going to set you apart from the others that you best have to offer the committee?
I'm the only one that opposed the measure.
Oh, goodness. Oh, gosh. Carla, would you restate your question? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Time, availability, okay. And commitment, and what's going to set you apart from the others applying?
I am definitely available. I do a small amount of traveling, but I am still working full-time. So I am available most all the time. I'm hoping what will set me apart is that most people know that I am a very fair person. I've always been very trustworthy. I have a lot of integrity. I pride myself in being open to all sides of issues and not partial to any particular department. I know folks from this entire city, having lived here all my life, that are friends. And I don't think I have an agenda with any of them. I am on the Friends of the Morro Bay PD only because my husband, well, one of the reasons, because my husband was a policeman, and I was hoping to be able to do something for them because I know with our budget and so forth and so on, they've sort of been shortchanged. But I just think...
feel that I made a terrific contribution, and I'm proud of that. And I'm very dedicated to this city and have always loved it and been dedicated to it in everything that I've done as a volunteer.
I have the time. I am, I won't say mostly retired, I'm at least halfway retired and work part-time, but it's a very flexible schedule. What I could bring to the committee would be, I think, in many respects, a reinforcement of the spirit with which we requested the public to vote for Measure Q and the spirit of the promises made so that the public is going to get their money's worth.
I think one of the things that the committee does, and only Ms. Lundy knows because she's the veteran here, is not only decide whether a particular handout matches the goal of what Measure Q was promoted as, but the percentages of that. And that's pretty much been up to the council to decide percentages or dollar amounts. But do you, as individuals, have a concept in your head of how you think that should work? Do we allocate by dollars? Do we allocate by percentages? Who should get to make that decision? Is that something that you should be involved with or not as a committee member?
It doesn't matter.
I think, actually, rather than trying to set it down in hard, fast numbers or percentages, Measure Q, to me, was there to provide things that the city's budget normally could not. And in the past few years, we've seen a tremendous need on the part of the fire department. That's pretty much being taken care of. Now it's a matter of looking at those same priorities again and seeing where the trouble spot is now. And so I think you have to take each year or each time you cycle this and try to determine the greatest need for those dollars and then move forward from there.
I think it's impossible to put a dollar amount on it because we don't always know what dollar amount we're going to get until we get it. So percentages is what we've been looking at, and it's worked so far. Our edict is for first public safety and then infrastructure. And so if we've got the fire department squared away, they're still going to need funds in the future, but right now they're doing fine because they've gotten a grant. We need to look further in the public safety, whether that's the police department or whatever it may entail. We also have to look at infrastructure because of our roads and our sidewalks and the way they're looking. But we have to, I believe, Measure Q, first and foremost, is for public safety and then infrastructure. So that's the way we have looked at allotting the percentages. And actually, in the last couple of years, the percentage has been higher than what we have predicted or what the city had predicted. So that's been terrific. We've had a little overspill there, but I don't know if that's going to happen because of the retail sales going down so dramatically this year. I don't know if there will be that much again next year. But we do look at it as a percentage basis, and you just really sort of have to because of the fact that the dollar amounts, we don't know that till the end.
Thank you. I'd like to add a second part to my question that you've brought up, that there's a strict interpretation of what public safety is, harbor, police, fire.
Right.
And then there's a broader definition of what public safety is. If you don't have good roads, you know, people's cars get messed up and that kind of thing. So if I could back up to you and Bill for a minute before we go on, how do you define public safety in that strict sense or more broad?
Well, it depends on whether or not the general budget is affected by the general budget, and there are certain concepts that the general budget takes care of. And so we don't look at, okay, this is the city's budget. We look at how Measure Q is allotted, and certainly infrastructure is an important part of safety, but we need to make sure that our fire department and our police department are effective and able to do their job and have enough manpower and enough equipment to do their jobs first and foremost. Then certainly having safe roads and safe sewers and that type of thing are important. But first and foremost, we need to make sure that those people that have to do with the safety of our citizens are, that should be our first priority.
I'm glad you said that because I couldn't have said it any better. I think that says it in a nutshell.
Not to disagree, but as a homeowner, keeping the budget, operating the house, it's always surprising how hidden things like dry rot and sewers going bad. I've had all those experiences in the last year. And so you do need to be looking not just at today, but
of public safety. I mean, I can see that kind of as kind of a gray area of public safety, but personally, I don't see that. I know the problems that we've had with the police department, staff shortages, some of the different issues going on, because I've been personally very close to it. So I would like to see that just be kept as public safety with fire and police. And then, obviously, again, as the voters' wishes to go down with the enumerated issues of the sewer drains, the streets, and so forth and so on. So, but number one up there.
First, I'll address percentages versus numbers. I think percentages has to be the guideline that the committee follows. I strongly believe the committee has to exercise an independence and an oversight function that is consistent with what the ballot measure called for. We have to always remember that the ballot measure was not for a specific purpose, but was rather for a general purpose. And that is why the committee was created in the first place. So I guess what I'm saying is that, yes, public safety is important. Yes, infrastructure is important. But how those percentages fall has to be under the purview of the committee from their advisory standpoint. And none of us, if we are selected to serve, should be locked in to any one priority function. They're all important.
Okay. I don't have any questions. By the time you are all finished, I'm done.
Could I ask one follow-up?
Go ahead.
I actually did want to find out a little more about your philosophy. I guess if you do get into a point where the committee seems to be hung on the decision, what is your style in a group setting to help address that and come to a place that you can feel good about?
Yeah, you're looking at me.
Yes. Start there.
I guess the best way I can describe my style is to go back to my experience as a federal mediator. My role was to step into very difficult situations, usually where a strike had been going on for some period of time. Best example I can cite that's nearby is King City, when the Teamsters struck Basic Vegetables, tore the social fabric of the town apart. We had everything but deaths in the streets. There were houses firebombed. There were cars blown up. So those are not easy situations to enter into, and you need to go in and win the confidence of some very diverse people and then do your best job to mediate some sort of settlement. So those are skills that I was able to exercise in that role, and I think working in a committee, I can do the same thing, and it'll be a heck of a lot easier.
Well, obviously, as a realtor, we submit an offer, and then we begin negotiating. And we have two different sides. We have a lot of people involved, and we have to come to a meeting of the minds, something that is fair for everyone. That's what it's all about. And so I've always felt that, you know, I could do that. That's my job to do with others, to point out strong points and weak points and bring that all together into an opinion of the group of what works best. And I've always been able to work in a setting like that. I was treasurer of our local Association of Realtors. We had to come up with a large budget, and a lot of people had a lot of different ideas on how we were to spend the money. And it just came back to what was most important for the association. And I feel that it's the same thing here. What did the citizens want? And we can work that out. And I think everyone here, their hearts are in the right place. And we all care about Morro Bay and the citizens. And that's what we would all strive to do, is to make it right for the citizens.
In the end, the decision has to be a collaborative thing. In solving problems, we have variables to choose from. One of the things I like to do is list the pros and the cons for each path and then rate them. You can vote 1 through 5, for example, to where you put the weight. So as a collective group, you'll get a balance that should go the correct way.
Well, my particular style, since that's the way it was worded, is I always lay back and listen to the rest of them. I'm the last talker. I like to be the last one who speaks. So I listen to the other committee members, and then I give my opinion based on the spirit of Measure Q oversight, of Measure Q itself. So, and it has worked. I mean, the whole committee is that way. We've had some very good discussions. We have had people that put forth.
So we shall vote. I'm going to say, in doing my vote, any one of you would serve really well on this committee, and it's really hard to cut it down to just three. So the way I'm voting is how I see a balance, and that's all I can do, but I think you're all great.
Thank you.
Anybody else got a birthday? We could sing again.
That was very nice, Councilmember Smuckler. First, I'll read number of votes per person, and then we'll go through who voted for whom. Mr. Durek received 2 votes. Ms. Giannini received 4 votes. Mr. Glessman received 3 votes. Ms. Lundy received 4 votes. And Mr. Pierce received 2 votes. And to run through, Councilmember Winholtz voted for Ms. Giannini, Mr. Glessman, and Ms. Lundy. Councilmember Borchard voted for Mr. Durek, Ms. Giannini, and Mr. Glessman. Councilmember Grantham voted for Ms. Giannini, Ms. Lundy, and Mr. Pierce. Councilmember Peters voted for Ms. Giannini, Ms. Lundy, and Mr. Pierce. And Councilmember Smuckler voted for Mr. Durek, Mr. Glessman, and Ms. Lundy.
Our 3 new people are Joyce and Dan and Elaine, right?
Joyce, Miss Dan and Elaine, you're correct.
Okay.
No, I'd like to say there's no losers here, because what we all came here for was to be sure that this process continues successfully, and it's going to happen, you know.
Yep. This is our promise, and we're keeping it.
Thank you.
And with that, we are adjourned.